America is controlled by the tall whites, which were seen. These things were seen in the Dulce firefight. Those tall white things.
That is true. Jordan, yeah, can you click on this article? Because when it showed up, I was like, I want to look into this a little bit more. So there was an article that came out when everything happened with Snowden, and I can't remember exactly what year that was, somewhere between 2012 and 2016. There was an article that came out from Iran. The question is whether it's true or not, but a reporter was posting things on whatdoesitmean.com. And the story is that because Snowden went to Russia during that time, first he went to Russia, then he went to China, or it was the other way around. I think he went to China, then he went to Russia, and Russia kind of gave him an asylum at that time. But supposedly through this, Snowden leaked documents that a race of extraterrestrial tall whites arrived on Earth and helped Nazi Germany build a fleet of advanced submarines in the 1930s, coming into the 40s. And then in 1954, with President Eisenhower, there was what was called the secret regime. And that behind his back, basically, there was a whole organization that was forming along with these tall whites that were kind of secretly starting to run things. And I guess you could say that was part of the military industrial complex. But so this goes on to say, quote, most disturbingly, this report warns is that the tall whites agenda being implemented by the secret regime ruling the United States calls for the creation of a global electronic surveillance system meant to hide all true information about their presence here on Earth as they enter what one of Snowden's documents calls the final phase of their plan for total assimilation of the world rule. So
what does that even mean?
Well, the global surveillance system, that is crazy, because I mean, China's already implemented that during this process, right? They're trying to do it here in the US when probably secretly they've kind of achieved some aspects of it. Australia also has one that they've kind of implemented as well. And then of course you have the World Economic Forum, World Economic Forum, which has been trying to do that, the same thing.
Yeah. The fourth industrial revolution. Mm-hmm. You know, what's weird is total assimilation and world control could just be through technology that they're implementing, to your point. Total assimilation, like they don't have to be around. They're just implementing technology that we adopt that can control us somehow.
Yeah. And the thing is like, it's quite possible that, you know, if governments all of a sudden are getting this advanced technology, like quantum computers and everything, it's not like the aliens have to be around. It's just like, oh, here, you know, well, it's like Roswell. We'll just drop a ship that has technology on it. And then, you know, you give it to the right people or the wrong people in this case, and they're just going to use it for their own personal agendas and for kind of world control instead of, you know, for helping people. So, you know, you give it to certain world leaders, they're not going to be like, oh yeah, let me use this to benefit the people of my country. like how many world leaders are really going to think that way? You know, given like, you know, advanced technology.
No, they're going to keep it for military advantage.
Exactly. So, I mean, that's why it doesn't necessarily mean that they're like hands-on with this stuff. You know, you just, or you have some of these like hybrid people within certain government positions or whatever, and then it's like, yeah, they're probably more military than government, but maybe one and the same. I don't know, it's all hard to say, but yeah, it's definitely very strange stuff. But it's cool that it's not just you and I, Rob, talking like, here's like, you know, two conspiracy guys talking about reptilians. Now all of a sudden you have people who are politicians who have been sitting with meetings with the president of the United States, no less, now talking about alien groups and reptilians and these kinds of things. So I think this is, you know, this has been a very far long journey from, you know, starting out talking about reptilians and being made fun of. And now all of a sudden it's like, yeah, this is not as taboo anymore, you know? So what is,
well, really- and I think I don't even feel vindicated from that. It's just, we ended up getting censored because we were talking about all of this stuff. And now congressmen or congress people are coming out talking about it. You know what I mean?
Right. It's pretty crazy. Yeah. When I heard this though, I was like, wow, you know, and I did look into the guy and I'm like, yeah, I mean, he's a legit dude. He's not like, you know, just some, yeah, obviously some of the mainstream media is kind of making fun of him, you know, like some congressmen believing in reptilians, but then we're having more and more congress people coming out because this is an issue. And, you know, and that's what, like, I don't necessarily agree with everything. I think his name is Mark Rubio. I think that's his name. He was a congress member in Florida, you know, and his point was, like, we now know UAPs are real. Like, there's UFOs, UAPs, military seeing it, ordinary people are seeing it. There's all kinds of drones, everything else. And he's like, I'm not, his point that he's been trying to make for like the last couple of years is like, I'm not trying to say that they're aliens. What I'm saying is no one is telling us who they are. Is this a threat? Why isn't the military putting more effort into trying to figure out what these are?
Well, so, if they were, they'd never tell us though.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, $4 trillion being erased off of the budget shows us, or consistently shows us, that they are in fact researching this stuff. Cause where's that $4 trillion going?
Yeah. I mean, that is exactly it. Yeah. Yeah. People are in chats and saying like, you know, you can't really trust any politician. And it's like, no, it's true in this regard. But I mean, this is like a you know, whether he's, you know, getting disinformation or real information, the point is that there is somebody in government that's now talking about this stuff, you know? So this is like on a very different level than the other things that we've been hearing recently. And yeah, the fact that he's like, you know, he had a one-on-one conversation with David Grush is kind of cool too. He's like, I asked David Grush these questions directly and this is what he told me, you know? So it's kind of interesting that all of this is coming out. So we'll just see where it goes. But I have a feeling that eventually this stuff is going to get more and more to the surface. But I think on a positive end, what we're trying to see is more of the mainstream society starting to accept this.
Yeah, what we're starting to see. And you know, what's interesting is I found out too that in South America, this, because so many high level people have come out backing the Tridactyls Nazca mummy story and some of the other things that have been coming out over there, it's a lot more widely accepted now than it is over here. And so maybe that will spread more and more into the United States. We don't know.
Mm-hmm. I definitely agree with that. I think other countries are more acceptable.
Here's one of the Nazca Tridactyl mummies.
Yeah. And I do think that there's fake ones, and I think that there's potential real ones of these. It's been kind of confusing.
That would make sense.
Yeah, and I think that's exactly what was happening. It was like they were trying to make fake ones to discredit the real ones. And then at the same time as these things were coming out, you had the jetpack aliens that
were in Peru,
like all around the same time, you know? So it was just like really weird stuff that was happening. And, so crazy, crazy stuff. So, hey Rob, before we go into our second trailer, why don't you tell us about our coffee?
Yeah, well, you guys, we have Metaphysical Coffee now. If you go to the metaphysical.coffee.com, that's metaphysicalcoffee.com, you can get a bag of Metaphysical Coffee and support our work. The beans are from Guatemala. They're really awesome with a really nice, rich flavor, very low acidity. Our whole team loves the beans. And actually, we're offering that for $17.99 a bag. And you probably want to get those before the price goes up, because we're not making any money off of it right now. And we actually add in free shipping with that, too. So go to metaphysicalcoffee.com to get your bag of Metaphysical Coffee.
You can also go under rise.tv. You can get a special subscription to our monthly subscription and great coffee delivered to you each month for a special price if you are looking for everything, a bundle deal. But otherwise, you can find it on metaphysicalcoffee.com, or you can find everything under rise.tv as well.
All right. Well, let's play that trailer as soon as Jordan's ready, and then we'll be back.
Sounds good.
I had it loaded up and I lost it.
Welcome to Lindsay's world.
So much going on. I know. Well, you're doing a good job for the first time doing this.
Welcome to Edge of Wonder, where the weird gets even weirder. You know, out of all the craziest theories out there, none is more fascinating than the idea that giant reptilian beings, serpent people, Dracos, lizard people, or more formally, reptoids, could really exist.
Yeah, this is one creature that a lot of us have a hard time grasping. Are there really shape-shifting lizard beings controlling things behind the scenes, or even controlling people?
Well, if you said yes to that question, then congratulations. According to an article from The Wire, you're one of the 12 million people who believe reptilians are not only real, but are even controlling politics. And if you believe that, then you're branded a paranoid, raging conspiracy theorist slash lunatic who is dangerous to society.
Well, then, that is what the media would call you if they were secretly being controlled by reptilian aliens, right? Of course, this poll was taken back in 2013, and a lot's changed in 10 years.
Yeah, that 12 million people might have even doubled now. But whether or not you believe in the most extreme theories, the concept of strange reptoid beings ever existing is still a fascinating topic to dig into.
So is this all a giant hoax, or is there actually something to this reptilian agenda?
Welcome back to Edge of Wonder with your hosts, Ben and Rob. In part one of the series on reptilians, we covered a 1934 LA Times article about the lizard people's hidden catacomb city underneath Los Angeles.
We also talked about the strange and bizarre sightings of the Frogman in Ohio. And we marveled at the real lizard man who was captured and put on display in Louisville, Kentucky in 1878. But believe it or not, that was only the beginning, and we saved the more extreme and controversial stories for part two, if you can believe that.
Well, you guys, once again, you can find that over on rise.tv. Honestly, that was one of my favorite series that we've done in a while. Basically, we looked at actual evidence, credible evidence throughout history, about specifically reptilians or reptile kind of like beings. And what we were finding was shocking. I mean, from old news reports from the early 1900s to, you know, going back to ancient cultures and everything else, all talking about and referencing these reptilian beings and people with actual credible experiences who were being interviewed by the media all throughout the last decade, a few decades. So wild stuff, you know, and then of course,
what I find really interesting too, is that there's sightings of Bigfoot, there's sightings of Dogman pretty consistently, but I didn't even realize this until one of my friends told me about a reptilian sighting that they personally had. And I was like, wait, you saw this thing? Like, it's not a concept. Mm-hmm. And they told me the whole story, and it was just totally bizarre. You know, I'm surprised we don't see or hear more about that today.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, this sighting happened back in the 80s. So mm-hmm. I'm imagining some people somewhere are still having sightings like this.
Yeah, well, and that's what we do kind of get into that in that episode, you know, and how people are seeing certain types of these kinds of beings. So pretty wild stuff. And then the last episode, we get into more of like some of the stories that were a little bit more credible about encounters that people had, like actual alien abduction experiences, but dealing specifically with the reptilians. So they were really fascinating stories. So including cattle mutilation also revolving the reptilians. So it's really interesting stuff. And that actually went back to the 1900s. We actually found a reference to that in the 1900s too, early 1900s. So crazy, crazy stuff. Okay, let's see. Why don't we jump to the AI experiment physics stuff? Because I mean, these kind of go hand in hand in a lot of aspects. You know, it's like, I feel like our human race, in fact, there was an article too about this, but so this article, AI is designing bizarre new physics experiments that actually work. The thing is like when human beings want to test something or do something, we have our own notions that kind of get in the way with things. Oh, well, physics operates like this. So therefore we design things that are within that framework.
Right.
Where AI doesn't have those notions. So it's kind of like if an AI wants to go to a point, let's just say you're trying to understand something. So the way this article kind of breaks things down, like in a nutshell, it's like, this is my understanding about it, but let's just say you're trying to get to point A to point Z, right? Well, according to physics, you can only go to point A to point Z if you're like going to A, B, C, D, all the way to Z. Well, like an AI won't think that way. An AI is like, well, what's the fastest way to get to A to Z? Well, if I bend time space, I can get to A to Z. So let's do it that way. So that's how quantum computers came about, essentially, was that it's like, how do we work faster? How do we get through this faster? And there's no limits with AI. So what they're finding is that when they're doing research now, and these physics experiments, the AI won't work in this kind of framework. It just does what it needs to do to get the job done. So they're finding that particularly in the field of gravitational waves, so gravitational waves and quantum optics, the AI is like manipulating it at a very microscopic scale. And it's changing how they're understanding the quantum entanglement based on how the AI is operating these experiments. So it's kind of vague, it's just talking about how the redesigning of the quantum entanglement is like forcing these physicists to kind of look differently at things, that way the AI is working. So but sometimes, like this article gets into how AI outputs are oftentimes incomprehensible to humans. Like the AI will do an outcome and it's like, well, I don't understand what this outcome is, you know? But then as they start looking at it, maybe months later or whatnot, they start realizing that it's not just mumbo jumbo. That the AI models are literally designing their own laws of physics to get things done in a faster way. So,
you know, what's weird is, as you're kind of taking us through this, Ben, I can't help but feel haunted by that Snowden drop where it was talking about total assimilation, because AI would be the easiest way to bring in the total assimilation, where now you're controlling, you've already got the private sector. Now you're getting into sciences and things like that too. And it's changing what our physicists are now coming to the conclusion of. I mean, all of this stuff is going in that direction, right? Isn't that weird?
You're absolutely right, man. You're absolutely right. That is kind of weird to think about, because that's exactly what's happening. And we're allowing it. Like we want it.
Yeah, we're totally adopting the technology that controls us.
Yeah.
No, they don't have to show up. They don't have to show up with a laser beam, because they can just adopt technology or roll out technology that we'll adopt.
Yeah.
And then the control happens naturally.
And when I say we want, I mean more collectively as a human race. You know, we're asking for it.
We're building the stuff.
Yeah,
it's literally we're inviting the vampire in. It's the invitation is come on in, let's go.
Yeah, and then it's like the aspect is, oh, come use the AI. It will make your life easier. You know, and so then everyone's flocking to this to use it. And it's like, even we, like, even for the show, like, there's, it's so hard not to use AI now, you know, whether it's for, like, you know, instead of doing Google searches, it's like doing Google searches with, or Google Now searches with AI, or.
Yeah. The only thing that makes me feel better about that is the AI is basically just doing, it's just compiling the articles that you would find through the search and presenting it to you faster and in bulleted, you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, that's exactly it. We're not doing it like how some of these people are getting. It's like they're just disconnecting from their lives completely, and it's now like, oh, I have an AI girlfriend, you know?
that just is just your, no matter what time period we're in, if that is the case, you're just a loser.
It's weird.
Yeah, like, come on, guys. Right.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, it's weird. It definitely is.
It's like, you know, and you know, Japan is the perfect place to roll some of that stuff out because the culture is so bizarrely lonely.
Yeah.
There's a different layer of culture that they have with loneliness that allows for a lot of that stuff to kind of get implemented.
Japan has always been the forefront of innovation.
Technology.
Yeah. Always, you know, yeah. I mean, that's just what Japan.
Tokyo is like an alien city, dude.
Yeah. I've always wanted to go there, though.
I know. Same here. I mean, all the people in Japan live there. It's a wild ride.
Mm-hmm. Well, so kind of continue on this topic, what we're doing. I found this article. I'm not even really sure where this article was. What website, Jordan? I'm going to go to the why the foundations of physics have not progressed for 40 years. And I think, you know, yeah, really, I think that's one of the aspects. And I think no matter what industry you're in, or, you know, I guess you could say like science or archaeology or even music in some degree, you have certain gatekeepers who have been there for a very long time and make sure that things are the way they are. And
well, it's no different. And it's no different than the music industry having, you know, record deals, record companies that are controlling who becomes famous and who doesn't. They're just, they're controlling the music narrative, just like they're controlling this industry. Like, exactly. There's always going to be those people, you know?
Yeah. So this article is very fascinating because it does get into how we have not seen any kind of progress in the realm of physics, even though we have now, you know, they figured out neutrinos in the 90s and all this stuff. But really, since the 70s, their standard model of the particle of physics has not been
broken.
Altered. Yeah, altered is a better way of saying it. Hasn't been altered. And
nothing new on the surface has really come up.
No, even though now we have quantum computers that can prove, and not just like a theory, that actually prove now that we are, that there's the multiverse exists and there's parallel dimensions that are running simultaneously with ours. It's like physics in general has not caught up with that. And then if you think about it, I was actually thinking, because I saw this article and I was thinking about this today, and I was like, you know, is there anything that we can name that we still use after 300 years? You know, there's certain things that we've like built, like improved, you know, you could say like the telescope, for example, right?
Plumbing
is another one, you know, I mean, that's been around.
Pretty convenient to be able to poo in your own home. True. And, you know, it goes into a sewer and all that.
Yeah, but it's like now there's a lot of things that are improved over the centuries with plumbing, right? But when it comes to like when I started thinking about physics and whatnot, I mean, all of these axioms have been set by like Newton's laws of motion and Newton's laws, you know, which was basically 1700, and we still think of our world of science in that framework, where anything that's outside of that, well, that's no longer, you know, that's just theory now because it doesn't fit in this bubble of what is like Newton's laws. And it's like a 300-year-old theory that has a lot of holes in it now.
I think that's true. If you watch the movie Oppenheimer, you've seen that movie, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So the reason why they were able to construct the atom bomb so fast is because the armchair theorists were working hand in hand with the R&D department to figure out the ins and outs of how the atom bomb would actually work. So they were experimenting alongside the theories. And so the stuff that the theories couldn't figure out, they were working out through trial and error. And that's sort of something that's missing right now. Although we think it's missing. We don't know what, you know, what the military is up to.
True.
Yeah, and true. And I'll point out too, that like, this is why the military contractors get so much money, is because they're the ones, they're outside of the military. The military can't get pegged for any of the stuff that's going on. They get all the money, they do the R&D, and then we don't see that at all. That's all private, totally private. And then they're sharing whatever they're sharing with the military, you know?
Yeah, it's
interesting the way all that stuff works.
Right. And to kind of continue on her point, I think that, or like your point, and I do think that the military, especially branches in the military and people working on top secret projects, you know, their mind is like, oh yeah, we already know that, you know, this is old theories and that we can go way beyond what's here. We just don't want the public to understand this because, I mean, you know, you start building, I mean, people are building nuclear reactors in their garage. Now they can start building anti-gravity crafts. As soon as it's like, as soon as they know that that's in the ether, that this is real and this is, this can happen, people will just start trying to develop it, you know?
And a lot of people have and are no longer with us, but every once in a while you get someone that slips through the cracks, like the plastiline guy.
Yeah. There it is right there, man. Next nuclear reactor in the garage. There was another guy in Columbus, Ohio that did it too. So pretty wild stuff.
Really dangerous.
But it's like, how do you even do that? Where do you begin? You
know? Well, I don't think it's once you understand the mechanics of that, not that hard, but it's whether you should do that or not in your garage with a bunch of civilians around. You know, there's a reason why they were blowing stuff up in the middle of New Mexico and not in Columbus, Ohio.
Yeah, that's so true. That's so true. So funny. And well, yeah. And we were talking about, we have this in every industry, including archaeology. And so one positive thing, Trump is ordering a review of the Smithsonian's collection.
Yeah.
So, you know, the Smithsonian really took over a lot of ancient sites right after kind of 1930s, you know, one of the things that it was very, very common for mainstream media to report on giant bones and skeletons being found all over the country. And many of them were being, so after they would find it, and these were like, these aren't just like regular people. Some of these were actual real archaeologists, and they were sending them over to the Smithsonian. And then once the Smithsonian starts kind of like institutionalizing all this stuff, these bones just kind of disappear. And then they were like, we don't, you know, they were miscategorized. They were animals or dinosaurs, not people. And then they started, the Smithsonian started gathering their own archaeologists and centralizing things, pushing out a lot of the other ones. And I think this is the same thing that's been happening in a lot of different you know, whether it's science, physics, whatever, I think this has been happening. So this is kind of interesting. So we'll see if anything comes up, you know, with this review. I'm sure they're kind of panicking if they've been trying to hide anything or send it to the Vatican.
My understanding of the review too is the Smithsonian's displays are extremely DEI and what Trump would call woke. So he doesn't like things that are anti-American or that are publicizing anti-American kind of stuff. And so I think because he found out about that, he's kind of going hard on that as well.
That could be as well. Yeah, you're probably right in some aspects with that. Yeah. I was just kind of looking more like, whoa, what are they going to find? But
I hope they find things along the lines of giant bones, but we just don't know.
Well, I mean, even they came out and said that much of the dinosaur bones that we're seeing, like more than, well, I can say confidently, more than 50% of them have been added on to what they think they look like. Because most of them weren't complete skeletons when they found them. So they were like, they have to do educated guesses. And a lot of the bones we're seeing aren't even real bones. They're actually molds that were added later to make it more complete. So if you're going to the Smithsonian, a lot of the stuff in there isn't real. Or the real stuff is kind of hidden below. And a lot of people talk about this now. So... And museums are the same way. In fact, there's a whole conspiracy that a lot of the art in all these famous museums aren't really the original artwork, which is kind of crazy to think about. But yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Is that your cat?
That is my cat. Hey. I try to keep him out. This is my friend's cat. They wanted me to watch him for a long time. But if I keep him out, he'll just like meow like crazy. So I have to like, he likes to be in here when I'm doing this, but that was weird that he never climbs up there. So that's weird. Anyway, sorry for a distraction. Anyway, well, you guys, we should probably start heading over to our platform, Rise.tv. And we're going to get to your questions directly in our live chat that we have. And then we're also going to do our top 10 weirder news of the week. But if you haven't joined us, you can come over once again for $12.99 a month and support what we do. At the end of every live show, we always do a Q&A and we'll get to your questions directly in our live chat. And also we have our metaphysical coffee if you want your mornings to be interstellar. So, all right, we're going to show a trailer and then we'll see you guys over on Rise TV.
The planet is dying. Reduce, reuse, recycle. We're made to feel guilty for causing climate change. What if this is a bigger agenda being financed by big oil itself? In Edge of Wonder's explosive series, The Big Oil Industrial Complex, we ask, is it all a big scam?
When it comes to oil, it does so much more than just provide our gas.